Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and we're glad you've tuned in on this Christmas morning to Answers for the Paranormal. This is our 13th annual Christmas special, and we're happy that you've tuned in live this morning. And for those who will listen to this show via the podcast, my name is Bill Posey. I'm the host for the special this morning, and on the line with me over in his office is Joe Marotti. Hey, Joe. Merry Christmas.
Good morning,
how you doing,
brother? Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. I'm doing well. A little run down, but doing well, and really looking forward to sharing some Christmas memories and also encouragement and hope from God's word. And I want to wish you and all of our listeners at the outset of this a very, very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And this is really a special time for us. Joe, I was going back earlier yesterday and just checking out some of our Christmas shows and, just some of the numbers of people that listened in. And I was blown away by seeing some of those. It was quite eye-opening.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so Joe, we're going to continue with some Christmas music. This next selection is called Hope is Alive. That was Hope is Alive. So, Joe, I selected a couple of songs that aren't your typical Christmas-type songs to begin the show. The first one, Come All You Unfaithful, an invitation for those who don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And the second one, that hope is alive, just stating some truths that, Emmanuel, God is with us, and a baby's first cry. And, you know, Joe, it leads me into the icebreaker part of our broadcast today. And the reason that I bring those things up, and this is what I wanted to ask you in your icebreaker question. This time of the year, it's a joyous time, and people love celebrating their traditions, as you and I do as well. You know, we talked a little bit earlier today about, you know, our time with our families last night, and you know, those are Christmas mm-hmm. traditions, and they're great and they're fun. You know, and this time of the year, it's about, you know, the Jesus, the baby, you know, and it's safe. Right, Joe?
Right.
You know, a baby is not a threatening. People feel comfortable celebrating Jesus, the baby. So here's your question, Joe.
Okay.
I want you to think back to the time that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, right? And
mm-hmm.
then your first Christmas as a believer in Jesus, and then your Christmases prior to placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And what are the differences, Joe, in the way that you celebrate Christmas, you observe Christmas, comparing the time before belief and then your first Christmas afterwards?
It's a really good question. And it sort of has the same flavor as my question, icebreaker question to you, but a little less profound. I would say the main difference is you begin to, once you come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, you begin to become more familiar with what actually took place in Bethlehem in Israel over 2,000 years ago. You begin to become familiar with the scriptures, not only from the Gospels, such as Luke. You become familiar with Isaiah telling us that a child was to be born, a Savior is given, a son is given. You become familiar with all of those types of scripture from Micah, you know, out of you, Bethlehem, shall he come forth. As you celebrate that first Christmas, the reality is you are then indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would encourage you to not only confine yourself to the gospel Christmas message, but also to have that reinforced and to be encouraged by all of the other scriptures that tell of the birth of Christ and why he came. And prior to that, I think, as you said, Bill, it's a head knowledge. It's a head knowledge of Christmas being the birth of a, and I'm going to speak a little bit about this in my message. You have a head knowledge of the birth of a child that was unlike the birth of any other child. You're aware of what has been said about the birth of Jesus and what Christmas is about, but it really doesn't affect you in a profound way. It's something that as you near Christmas prior to salvation, and then Christmas Eve comes and Christmas Day, it's something that you get over very quickly, and you're kind of like the world is, where
mm-hmm.
just in the same way that Christmas music at, I don't know, I guess 6 o'clock tonight, 6 p.m. tonight, they'll all switch over back to secular music, and Christmas will be gone until they unpack it again next November or so. So it's something before you come into that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that, it's almost like a business. It's a business-like atmosphere where you're very taken with the responsibilities of Christmas and the, you know, the bells and whistles of Christmas. But then when you come to know him as Lord and Savior, you're hit with that profound understanding even as a babe in Christ, it lays you down. It makes you be still, and you become more grateful, and you you look at Christmas as the beginning of something very, very profound in your personal life. Whereas prior to that, as I said a moment ago, it's just a year-to-year thing. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. It was really a very well thought out answer, Joe. I appreciate that. I think that you hit it right out of the park with that one.
Are you going to answer your own?
All right, brother. All right. Yeah, I'll answer my own real quick, and not okay. too much unlike what you've just described. I think for me, mm-hmm. Christmas prior to faith in Jesus Christ was exactly that, just a holiday, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus was part of it as in name only.
Right.
You know? But it didn't have any profound meaning as to, okay, we're celebrating the birth of the Savior of the world, but what was he saving us from? And not having faith in Jesus Christ, not understanding that, right?
Sure.
But then, as you say, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, now all the scriptures from the Old Testament that point to this day, the
mm-hmm.
day of Jesus' birth, and all of the New Testament scriptures, which point back to why God came into the world in flesh, now it becomes meaningful.
Right.
You know, and Christmas is different. It's not just a holiday. It's the day where we celebrate God, and it's kind of what that first song said. He was the Lamb, you know, born as a baby, but yet as John described him, John the Baptist in the scriptures, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the
mm-hmm.
Lamb. He was born to be the Lamb who was slain for our pardon, slain for our sins.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes.
that's why as a believer, Christmas makes a difference. Christmas is different to the believer.
That's so true. So true. Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it does bring...
Kind of in that...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I think it brings into focus why we do this every year. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So here's my question. Again, it's kind of like in the same ballpark as yours. And if you don't understand my question, I was thinking to myself as I was coming up, is he going to understand what I'm asking? So if you don't, if I answer my own question first, then maybe you'll get a better understanding of what I'm actually asking. So it's an example of an extreme Christmas swing. What is something related to Christmas that you remember from childhood that has changed dramatically in our present day?
Yeah, that is a good question. Well, and my wife and I were talking about this just in the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back to the time of my childhood, Joe, and Sue brought this word up, and it's a great word, transformed. And it
mm-hmm.
was like when Christmas season came around, it was like the world transformed. You know,
mm.
you go through little towns, right? Like we have a little town here, Hatboro. And you would go through Hatboro and like every store and even the lampposts and, you know, it was just like it came alive with the season, you know?
Right.
It did have meaning, because it was to bring, I guess, people to stop their normal lives for a moment.
Yeah.
She brought up another thing, like people were nicer to one another, you know, and you hear in the song, in some of the Christmas songs and, you know, like, secular Christmas songs, and they're great songs, you know, people
yeah.
are happy
yeah.
and gay and, you know, merry and, just a time
right.
where, you know, it was like everybody, even people who wouldn't identify themselves with Christianity celebrated Christmas, you know, maybe not for
yeah.
the reason,
yeah.
but yet,
right.
That's what I remember about my younger days of life, how Christmas was just special to the world. But now today, Joe, and you brought this up in your answer, it's like, okay, you know, it's Christmas Day and it's 6 o'clock at night. And all right, Christmas is over. Let's move on. You know?
Right, right.
And, you know, it loses its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that for today, consumerism has ruined it, certainly.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
And I don't know, maybe it's different now where, you know, you have online ordering, you know, Amazon and so many others. People just don't go out and shop anymore, Joe. That was another thing. You know, you would go and do your shopping at the mall or whatever. People don't do that anymore.
Right.
Not like
no.
they used to.
I do.
Yeah. It's the way, you know, yeah. But, yeah, so I guess that's the thing that I remember
yeah.
Most going back to my childhood, how Christmas meant something. It had meaning. Today it doesn't have meaning, even for, you know, for those who haven't been transformed, their lives haven't been transformed.
Right. Yeah, you actually gave two answers there. They were both great, really good. I mean, the second one, people didn't go shopping anymore. They don't go out of their house to go shop. That's a Mount Rushmore answer right there. mine is a little simpler, and it may go to what we've been talking about, where it's like people have become mechanical when it comes to Christmas. I remember, and I don't know how many people had the same tradition that we had as a family. We set up our Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, and it was like a special – now all these years later, I look back on how special it was. It was a short time. We set it up on Christmas Eve, and then I think we took it down maybe a couple weeks later. Now I have a neighbor three houses away from me. He literally had his Christmas tree up the first week of November. I don't think that was the case back when we were young, Bill. I think
no, definitely
people,
was not.
Yeah, people more so had a special the time. Christmas Eve was a special night for a number of different reasons. One of them was the tree got trimmed. It got set up, and now, I mean, you see Christmas tree lots as soon as maybe even the last week of October, certainly the first week of November. And then, you know, after that guy set his up, maybe a week later, before even the middle of November, half of my neighbors had their Christmas trees up. because you can see them. They have them in their bay windows.
Yeah.
We set ours up maybe a week ago. Yeah, it was a week ago. A week ago tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that has definitely swung 180 degrees. So, yeah, they were two good questions and some good answers there, brother.
Yeah, amen. And, Joe, we've talked so many times on our shows how much the icebreaker questions really set the tone for the rest of the show. And they've certainly done that again today.
Absolutely, yeah. Love them. I love them.
Yeah. All right, Joe, this next selection is Hallelujah, Christ is Born.
In a tiny town, in the dark of night, from a run-down stable came a baby's cry. He was wrapped in rags, and his parents were poor. But the babe in the manger was Christ the Lord. Ragged shepherds were watching their sheep at night, when the angel chorus filled the sky with light. Good news, great joy to this broken land, for the baby in the manger is Christ the Lamb. Hallelujah. Christ is born. Hallelujah. The Savior of the world. This is the one we've waited for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is born. The wise men journey from those countries far, over deserts and mountains, following that star. And they gave him the gift and bowed on their knees, for the babe in the manger was Christ the King. Hallelujah.
All right, Joe, that was Hallelujah, Christ is Born.
Amen.
Yeah, I wanted to take a moment and just kind of go back over some of the songs that we've listened to so far. And I just wanted to call this False Hope. Why? Why a false hope? Sue and I were driving the other day, and we had Christian radio on, and the host of the show brought up about the birth of Christ, and her words were that Christ was born to lead and show people the way to godliness. And yes, certainly he did show us how to live, but he was God in the flesh. He was perfect.
Yes.
Whereas we are fallen human beings, meaning that we have a sin nature. And
yes,
as much as, you know, her words were, you know, like, oh, kind of special to her. I want to tell our listeners that that's a false hope. If you're trying to live a godly life apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's all in vain. Joe, that's what the Pharisees did. That's what the Pharisees were. You know, they showed a way to godliness, right?
Oh yeah.
But yet Jesus called them, you know, dead sepulchers. You know, they honored me. He said they honor me. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
And he called them hypocrites.
Yeah. And Joe, if, you know, if Jesus just came to show us how to live, then we are most to be pitied, right?
Yes.
Because there's no real purpose past that.
Right.
Are we able to live godly lives? Yeah, we are able to. Peter makes that clear in the scriptures that, you know, we've been giving everything to be able to say no to ungodliness, right? So, yeah, we can live godly, but that effort to live godly is not going to save us. It's not going to pay a penalty that hangs over every human, right? And when faith is placed in Christ, that penalty is now paid.
That's right, that's right.
So, again, a false hope. If Jesus came for any other reason than not to come and to die and pay the penalty for everyone, then this is just a celebration of, you know, bows and bells and lights and tinsel and trees and. Because there's no hope. There's no hope. It's just a false hope. And as we move forward in the show, Joe, we're going to make it clear that the only hope that any of us have is in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, brother. And how many times have we said this? Like you're reading my you're reading my notes
again.
Yeah, and I assure people that Bill never knows what I'm going to talk about. I never know what he's going to talk about on Christmas morning. May have an idea, but specifics no. So Let's get right into it, brother. And
yep.
As I start, I want to let our listeners in on a little secret, okay? Here's the secret. Bill, you and I are not getting any younger. Okay? Did you know that?
Don't I feel that this morning?
Well, every morning we get out of bed, we're made aware of this fact, aren't we, brother?
Yes, we are.
We have been around for many years, and we've experienced many Christmas seasons. While we've talked about a couple of things that have really changed with regards to Christmas traditions, the one constant has been the central theme of Christmas, the first coming of Jesus Christ into this world, even though that in itself has been watered down to the point where I'm sure you have seen bumper stickers, Bill, and I hear on the local radio station in Hatboro, the Knights of Columbus run a spot to, quote, keep Christ in Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though the central theme has been the coming of Christ, we it seems that we have to be reminded more and more, hey, yo, keep Christ in Christmas. But again, even for those of us who are believers, our focus at this time of the year primarily on the birth, or should be, on the birth of Jesus Christ. The Advent hymns that we have come to love, like Silent Night, O Holy Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, they all celebrate the time the baby was born of a virgin over 2,000 years ago, and why he came.
Yeah.
Now, I did a quick web search of the scriptures related to why Jesus came into this world, and while the list is far from exhaustive, here is just a sampling, and the site that he actually went to had 31 reasons, and I just have a handful of those. Again, this list is not exhaustive, and neither are the scriptures exhaustive. John 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. 1 Timothy, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. The Gospel of John, again, chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus came to bring light to a dark world. The Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 37, to bear witness, Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. The writer of Hebrews, in the second chapter, verse 14, Jesus came to destroy the devil and his works. And again, back to the Gospel of John, in chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus came to give eternal life. Now, I will certainly not get into specifics with regards to politics on this Christmas morning, brother. But to make a point, I will say this. Unless you've chosen for whatever reason to look away, over the last couple of years, we have all been made well aware of the evil of certain people who govern over us. We think to ourselves and talk amongst one another that things are going to maybe start changing for the better, for the good. But it never does. In fact, the evil increases and the darkness grows thicker and thicker. And so it's a destructive circle of hope, anticipation, expectation, but then ultimately bitter disappointment and anger. Now, the same can be said for what I will call the Christmas cycle. It's easy for even believers to get trapped.
Yeah.
We arrive at this point every year. We begin to hear Christmas chatter as early as September. We begin to feel the pressure of being prepared for Christmas, and perhaps at some point, hopefully maybe on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, we can exhale and relax and rejoice in the profound truth of the day. And Bill, I may be late to this party, but this is the first year that I have at least begun to pull myself out of the Christmas cycle.
Hmm.
And while it still has, to some degree, sideswiped me, this year I've chosen to no longer think of Christmas solely in terms of God becoming flesh, taking on human form, and being born in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. I can no longer separate that glorious and profound event in human history from the no less glorious and profound promise of his imminent return. Brother, would you read some scriptures for us? Would you read from the Gospel of John 14, verses 1 through 4, and then from Acts, the first chapter, verses 9 through 11, and then from Revelation, the first chapter, verses 7 through 8.
Certainly. And this is the word of God, John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. The next one is taken from the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. Next, from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and verses 7 and 8. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Acts, Revelation 1,
yeah.
7 and 8.
Yes, thank you, brother, for those scripture readings. Again, while these scriptures are in no way exhaustive when describing the return of Jesus Christ, they are clear indications of God's promise that Jesus will indeed return to this earth.
Yes.
The world celebrates Christmas, Bill, with the tacit acknowledgement of the birth of a special child in Bethlehem. But for believers, Christmas should be a dual celebration, a celebration of the birth of, but also with an eye to the promise of his coming again. For as certain and filled with joy as we are that he came into this world over 2,000 years ago, we should be no less certain and filled with joy that he is coming again, as he promised. And God does keep his promises.
Yes.
Let me end with this thought, and hopefully with some encouragement. Jesus came to save sinners, to bring salvation to lost souls.
Amen.
But was it just to have us live through this life knowing that our sins have been forgiven, paid for with the blood of Christ, and now in a right standing with God, holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Is it just for that? Lord, would you read another scripture from Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14?
Sure. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14 say this: For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14.
Thank you, brother. So, did he not also come to give us a hope?
Yes.
The blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope that at the end of this life, this world, we would spend eternity in his very presence in a place Jesus described as paradise. So, brother, it is my hope that if not for Christmas 2022, perhaps next December, and however many Christmases are left in life, that we might avoid the trappings of the Christmas cycle and remember that as we celebrate his first coming, to also keep an eye on and let your heart be glad in the certain promise of his coming again.
Amen.
This is something that this Christmas, Bill, probably as a result of the study that we're doing, the book that we're reading after the rapture, you begin to think about what is going to take place at the time of the rapture and then during the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, and then the return of Jesus Christ for his millennial reign here on his thousand-year reign here on earth, and then eventually with a new heaven and a new earth and the new Jerusalem. I don't believe I from this Christmas on I will ever separate the coming of Jesus Christ with his second coming. It's for me, from now on, it's going to be a dual celebration.
Amen. Joe, thank you for that message. And that's a sobering message, because when you think about the time when Jesus will come again, you know, he comes again for those who have placed their faith in him before he comes and literally sets his foot again upon Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And those events will take place just as Jesus promised. And Joe, from what we read in Titus, that is our blessed hope, the appearing
Amen.
Of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you. I will take that into Christmas moving forward. And I hope you spoke to the heart of some of our listeners, and they will do the same.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Joe, I'm going to ask you to pray. And then if you could give an invitation to someone who listened in today who doesn't know that their sins have been paid for and forgiven, and that they today on Christmas Day can place their faith in Jesus Christ. So would you pray first, brother, and then
yes.
give an invitation?
Certainly. Thank you, brother. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to bring a message from your word to those who have listened this morning and who will listen in the future to this broadcast. Encouragement from your word, hope from your word, truth from your word, in a world that is so drenched with evil and lies and deceptions because this world is controlled by the enemy of the cross and the enemy of mankind, the devil.
Mm.
We thank you that just for these few moments this morning, on this very special morning, that we could bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that he offers to all mankind. We thank you for those who have listened. We thank you for your spirit leading us to this morning. We thank you for the past 12 years that you have enabled us to do this. And apart from you, we could not do it. Apart from you, we have no strengths. We thank you and we give you praise. And so my brother Bill mentioned all of the listens over the last 12 years. And we trust the same will be true for this year. And that we will not know the fruit that was born out of all those Christmas messages and out of this one this morning. We trust you with that. And we give you, again, thanks for all that you accomplish through all of these Christmas broadcasts.
Yes.
And we do pray, Father, that if there is anyone listening this morning or in the future who has yet to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, who, as we talked about earlier, is spending this Christmas as they have for all of the other Christmases in their lives, just merely in a business sense, taking care of the details and buying the gifts and decorating the house and preparing the food and having get-togethers. And while all those things are wonderful, it is our prayer that those who listen who have not come to that faith in Christ, who have not been born again, that perhaps this would be the very first special Christmas that they know that now that they are in a right standing with God, that they should have no fear in this life or the life to come, because mm-hmm. no one will be ever able to separate them from your love towards them in Christ Jesus. No one will ever pluck them out of your hands. No man, no spiritual force would ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, we thank you for this wonderful morning and give you all the praise and the glory. You alone are worthy of it. And we give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' wonderful and saving name. Amen.
Amen.
And so as I prayed, if anyone is listening, whoever hears our voices, and you have not come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, that you have heard the gospel, I don't know how many times, but you've yet to come to that intimate relationship with him that you can only do through faith, trusting what the scriptures say. And I go back to the scriptures that I read, that he came to do the will of the Father, to save sinners, to bring light to a dark world, to bear witness to the truth, to destroy the devil and his works, to give eternal life. He came to do all of that for you. He came to do all of that for the world. For as the scripture says, he died not only for our sins, for those who believe, but for the sins of the world. Friend, you'll never know how much God loves you. I know how much he loves me. Bill knows how much he loves him. I know how much he loves my family. Bill knows how much he loves his family. Friend, you come to him in simple childlike faith, understanding that sin is a reality and it bears eternal consequences, but you don't have to bear that penalty because Christmas is about, all about why he came into this world, to bear that cross, to take upon himself the sins of the world, to pay your sin debt.
Yes.
He comes to you and he says, believe in me, trust me. Believe in me, trust me, I will give you life. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So on this Christmas morning, friend, or whenever it is during the year that you may be listening to this, the Lord is calling you. If you have not come to him yet in genuine faith, he is calling to you. He will not give up on you.
Amen.
I think of how dark my world was before he came, before I came to him. He was drawing me all along. And then I believed. And so that is the opportunity for you, either this morning or again throughout this year, to come to him in saving faith and to begin to experience Christmas as Bill and I are experiencing them in the wonderful and most profound way. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ. So yeah. Would you do that today, dear friend? Believe and be saved and enjoy an inheritance that is kept for you as imperishable by God's power. No thief will ever break in and steal. That is our hope for you this day.
Yes, it is. And thank you for that, Joe. And I just would like to say that the time is growing short, as Joe talked about in his message. The event of Jesus coming for his own is one that will not be shown by any signs. It's going to be instant, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. And so, friend, you want to be in that cloud of witnesses that that Jesus calls to himself in the clouds.
Yes.
So it's our hope that what you heard today on Christmas morning will have a profound effect on your heart. And you know, it's Joe's voice, and it's my voice. But it's actually God knocking on the door of your heart, saying, open the door, and
yes.
I will come in. So I hope that you do heed God's call for you.
Yes.
All right, Joe. I guess we'll wrap up from here. This has been another great morning for us to celebrate the birth of Christ into the world.
Yes,
and despite the technological difficulties, it seems like we always run into on Christmas morning.
Right.
God was faithful to us in having us broadcast, and
yes.
I'm thankful
Amen.
To him for that. And Joe, I'm thankful
Amen.
To you for all these years. And you and your family hold a special place in my heart. And again, I want to thank you and hope that you guys have an awesome day celebrating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, brother. And likewise. Love you all.
Amen. So that's going to do it for us. I'm going to end with a selection called Noel, and Joe and I will catch you next time on Answers for the Paranormal. Have a great day, brother.
Same to you, brother, and the very merriest of Christmas to all of our listeners. God love you.
Yes, amen. Merry Christmas.
Sure.